It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up in Wisconsin Life, we'll talk to a Latin jazz band leader about the jazz music scene here in Wisconsin.
First, former Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold is both putting pressure on his opponent Ron Johnson and taking fire himself over the issue of campaign finance.
Late last week, Feingold proposed an idea to Senator Ron Johnson that they pledged to keep third-party spending out of their 2016 Senate race. Today, Feingold himself is taking heat for the spending of his political action committee, Progressives United.
According to data compiled by OpenSecrets.org, of the $7.1 million that the PAC raised, only 5% went to federal candidates and political parties. Large amounts of that money went to further fundraising and salaries for Feingold and his former staff members.
Here now to talk about Feingold's proposed pledge and the spending of his own political action committee is Daniel Bice, political watchdog columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Daniel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks.
Well, let's first talk about this challenge, this proposal to curb third-party spending in this race for Senate 2016 in Wisconsin. What exactly is the now challenger Russ Feingold calling for there?
It's a clever thing that was done in a Massachusetts race with Elizabeth Warren. And essentially, it would say if a third-party group spent money in their race, the one that benefited from that would have to pay, would have to cover half of the expense of the ad and give it to a charity of the choice of his opponent. So if someone came in and did an ad attacking Feingold, Ron Johnson would have to pay the equivalent of half of the cost of the attack ad and give it to a charity that Feingold would choose.
So that's a little more teeth in this proposal than just saying we're going to ask third-party candidates that we don't, or parties that we don't control, not to spend and hope for the best.
Right. I mean, it makes the candidates have to pay something. But I would really seriously doubt that Ron Johnson's going to agree to this. And as a result, it allows Russ Feingold to say when these ads are going to come in, and if there is not an agreement like this, they are going to come in since this is such a highly targeted race. It will allow Russ Feingold to say, see, I wanted to stop these things, but I couldn't because of my opponent.
So is this, do you think, from what we can tell, more of a political salvo than something that is really likely to happen?
Well, I don't think it's going to happen, but it does, as you said, it's a clever idea in terms of making the candidates hold some responsibility for the ads that are being done in their support. You know, one interesting thing is, though, frequently candidates don't like these ads, even though they're supposed to benefit from them. There are any number of instances where third-party groups ran ads that ended up hurting the candidate that they intended to help.
And now, you mentioned this has been done before, Senator Elizabeth Warren against, I think, Scott Brown in Massachusetts.
Right.
So how did this pay out? Did anybody have to shell out money to balance the books here?
To tell you the truth, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't follow that race, but you know, Feingold saw this thing and decided it would be a good idea to do it here.
And Feingold, has he said what he would do if the Johnson campaign doesn't sign on?
They're saying that it's only binding if both parties do it.
And we haven't heard from Senator Johnson's campaign staff.
It's been 3 days. Yeah, he hasn't said anything in 3 days. And it would make no sense for Feingold to do it just on his own because it would be tying his hands while allowing the other side to do whatever they wanted.
In effect, it would be unilateral disarmament.
Right. Yeah, it would not be a good idea in a race like this one that's so important, you know, to the political landscape and for the U.S. Senate.
As you say, this has got a lot of national attention. Unless some deal is reached, we could probably, based on past experience, I imagine, expect to see a lot of outside money coming in here.
Sure. The funny thing is there wasn't a great deal of outside money in the Baldwin-Thompson race. It was mainly the candidates themselves. I believe it was like $3 or $4 million that was spent by outside groups. But the stakes were not as high for that as they are for this race.
Talking to Daniel Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a couple of stories in the news this weekend and today about the race for the U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin. Former Senator Russ Feingold challenging current incumbent Senator Ron Johnson. Well, let's move on to this other issue, the Russ Feingold Progressives United PAC. And this is something you've been reporting on over the weekend. Give us the basics of the story, please.
When Russ Feingold lost and he left office in 2011, he set up actually two groups, a political action committee, a PAC, and also a nonprofit, a political nonprofit. And I just decided to look and see what had been done and how he had spent his money. The PAC itself had raised and spent about $7.1 million. And of that, only 5% ended up going directly to candidates. And in their electoral mission, they said they're trying to give money directly and indirectly to candidates. Instead, the bulk of the money went for overhead. 95% of it went for overhead, including fundraising, administrative expenses, and salaries for staffers. And at various points, the Political Action Committee had 10 former Feingold campaign aides or U.S. Senate aides working for it.
And we've heard from Republicans now here in the state saying, in effect, this wasn't really a PAC, a Political Action Committee. It was a, these aren't their words, but a holding tank for Russ Feingold's campaign.
Or slush fund or something like that. You know, what it essentially was, it did allow, I mean, it created a way for all of these staffers to have employment in between these two elections. But also, I lost my train of thought there. It's not so much a holding tank or something like that. They end up endorsing candidates and allowing people to choose to give money to those people. And they said they raised about $1.6 million that way. But even if you combine that with their direct giving, it's still a fraction of the $7.1 million that they raised and spent.
So, yeah, what have we heard from Democrats, from Feingold himself, and if anything, or Progressives United in response?
Well, Feingold surprised me. He decided to put out a fundraising letter in response to this. He said, look, I'm already under attack. If you want to help me, you need to give money to me now. So that was been the main response on that side. I was actually surprised. With stories like this, I usually end up getting inundated with calls from liberals who are upset about the story, but I didn't have that happen today. I instead got a lot of people saying, I wish he hadn't done this.
Does this? Do we know how this compares with other political action committees? Do they typically put more of their money into political action?
Yeah. You can look at Ron Johnson's campaign committee. He has a political action committee, and it spent about 2/3 of its money on giving money to candidates, and then about 20% for fundraising, and then 5% for salary. So it's pretty significantly different from what Russ Feingold did.
And do we know where all this money for Progressives United came from?
It came from a lot of people. There are hundreds and hundreds of people who donated $50, $75, $100. There are bigger donors. Lynn Eline is one of the major contributors. And they're very open about who's given. You can go to their website and see they've grouped them into the largest contributors and then several other categories of who gave money.
Now that Russ Feingold is in the transformation from non-candidate to candidate, what happens to the PAC he runs?
They're scaling it back. They've moved most of the staff members over to his campaign, just as most people would expect. So the most of his fundraising effort's going to go for him. They've made the PAC. It had to actually show what sort of money it was spending every month, and now they've changed it to quarterly because it's just not doing any work. And the nonprofit that he created shut down in December. It raised about $2.9 million over its 4 years. So to go combined, these two groups, he was able to raise $10 million for the two organizations. And the nonprofit, again, it's an interesting thing. Half of the money ended up going to fundraising just like this. And then another 40% ended up going to salaries for his former staffers. So 90% of its spending was for salaries or fundraising.
As we mentioned earlier, Republican critics of Russ Feingold have already made an issue of this. Do you think this is something we'll be hearing about as the race goes on in the next, 16 months
yes,
or so?
16 months. You know, the best thing that could have happened to Feingold was the fact that I did the story now, because it's got so much time. By the time September of next year rolls around, this will be pretty old story. But, you know, it is interesting. What we have is one candidate in Ron Johnson who had his firm pay him back $10 million in deferred compensation after the 2010 election. And then you have on the other side a candidate who set up these political funds that helped give jobs to his campaign staffers during the intervening years. So you have both of them coming up with interesting ways to raise money for the people around them them and for the candidates themselves. And I should say, Feingold did draw not a huge salary, but he drew some money from both the PAC and the nonprofit during this time up until he took a job with the U.S. State Department.
All right, Dan, thanks, and we'll talk to you again in the future.
Okay, great.
That's Daniel Bice, political watchdog columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the latest news in the Wisconsin 2016 Senate race.